Another big airline merger could be in the works.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Sources say United Airlines and U.S. Airways are talking about joining forces. A merger of those two would create the second biggest airline in this country. With more, here is Marketplace's Amy Scott joining us live. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Why would these two airlines want to merge?
Well, it's all about cutting costs and trying to compete with the newly merged Delta Northwest, which is now the world's largest airline. Combining operations could help these airlines save money, which is important right now. The industry has lost $50 billion in the last decade and $11 billion just last year.
And why are airlines losing so much money?
Well, you know, fuel prices aren't as high as they were a few years ago, but fuel is still very expensive. And, of course, the recession has put a big damper on air travel. And a lot of analysts think there's just still too much capacity out there. That is, too many empty seats. So they say that the path to making money again is consolidation. And just today, two of Europe's biggest airlines, British Airways and Spain's Iberia, signed a merger deal.
Right. So what would another merger mean for passengers? Are we going to end up paying more to fly?
That's always a concern when you have less competition. But this is by no means a done deal. The talks are reportedly in the early stages. These two airlines have talked about merging before, and it didn't happen. And some analysts think these talks, though, could bring out other suitors, possibly other tie-ups.
Marketplace's Amy Scott. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Time to do the numbers. Well, stocks have had a good run recently, but there is a pullback underway this morning with European shares down 1%. Asian stocks did the same today. Yesterday, the Dow lost 72 points after the Federal Reserve said consumer borrowing fell by about $11 billion in February. That raises some concerns about weak consumer spending. The Dow closed yesterday at 10,897. A lot of young students in low-income neighborhoods have health problems that affect their ability to learn, like poor vision, malnutrition, hyperactivity. So some of these communities are setting up health centers where kids spend a lot of their time at school. And the new health care law provides more money for these school-based clinics. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
Joshua Chapman is a sophomore at Central High School in Kansas City, Missouri.
When I have migraines, I just kind of lay down in class and go to sleep a little bit.
When kids get sick in class, they can't learn. And outside the school, they may not have access to good health care.
When you're in a school, you can go to the school nurse and they say, you need to go to the doctor. As soon as they leave that building, the chances of them getting to the doctor, like, plunge.
Carolyn Kramer runs a program in Seattle that brought medical clinics inside the high schools and middle schools. In the 2 years since the program started, she says, absenteeism is down. So are disciplinary problems. There are now 2,000 school-based health centers across the country. The health care reform bill commits an additional $500 million in grants and emergency funds to the effort. Again, Carolyn Kramer.
If we can treat them in the school, and they can get the help right there and right away.
And it's not just kids getting care in the centers. Sometimes it's parents, too. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Even though companies are beginning to hire again, there are still about five times as many people looking for work as there are jobs to fill. But what if I told you that by 2018, there could be more jobs than job seekers? Actually, what if our economics editor, Chris Farrell, told you that? Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bill.
Doesn't sound right, Chris. What's gotten into you?
Well, I've been bitten by the demographic bug. Now, baby boomers are getting older. The oldest boomers will start getting Medicare next year.
Granted, but is that alone, Chris, enough to take us from not enough jobs to too many?
Well, according to two economists, Barry Bluestone, Mark Melnick, and Northeastern University, now, they use a very simple economic model. The economy is going to recover. And then they assume that older workers will continue to retire at their normal retirement age, and we have no major change in immigration policy. And then they take into account that there's a baby bust generation. So there's going to be a gap of about 5 million jobs. 30 to 40% of the jobs that could be created from 2008 to 2018 could go begging.
30 to 40%. Does that mean that wages then have to rise enough to lure grandma and grandpa back to work?
Oh, you would think so. That'd be the smart thing to do, right? But companies hate paying more. Now, they could also change immigration policy. I don't see that happening. You could do some more offshoring. You know, there are limits to that. No, I think what they're going to do is say to grandma and grandpa, we're not going to pay you more, but we're going to change your benefit policy. You know, with young parents, we have maternity leave. When you have a grandchild born, we'll give you leave.
Interesting. Now, Chris, I could be wrong here, but I think of younger workers as being the innovators in our economy. Can our economy thrive with an older workforce?
Our economy can thrive and be even more productive. Look, this isn't a story of no young workers. We're going to have plenty of young workers and lots of immigrants that are hustling to make a better life for themselves and their children. But older workers have knowledge, they have experience, and they're going to continue to share what they have learned over the years, and that's going to help out as companies navigate business cycles and competition from other nations.
Okay. Our wise, experienced, yet dynamic economics editor, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
And finally, the New York Times reports states trying to cut their budget deficits are thinning out a tangle of advisory commissions. So Washington State's Special License Plate Review Board was not special enough. The Connecticut Advisory Commission on American and Francophone Cultural Affairs will have to bid adieu. And Iowa cut its Grape and Wine Development Commission. Maybe they could merge with the Francophones from Connecticut. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.